Welcome to this week's Future Toolbox podcast. We explore the Z to A of life skills, where each letter stands for a topic and essential tool to help you get ahead in life. Meet Jules and Mark, creators of the multi-award-winning Future Toolbox, and enjoy their straightforward approach to creating growth mindsets that help people turn their dreams into realities. Whether you're a teen in education, a parent, a teacher, or part of a community group, start creating positive habits from today.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast from Mark and Jules from the award-winning Future Toolbox.
Hello.
Hello. Now, today's letter from the Z to A of life is E, and E stands for exercise.
Exercise. It's one of my favourite topics, that, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. But super excited this week because we have a special guest with us, a really good friend of ours. Bob Allen from Solace Healthcare. And Bob, you're an osteopath, and I'm going to let you explain to people what you do.
Yes, I am an osteopath. Hello, everyone. And yes, my name is Bob Allen, as Mark pointed out. My company is Solace Healthcare, and basically I fix people for a living. So what an osteopath does is we work with muscles, joints, ligaments, tendons, and various other body parts to, if you've got a problem, we can usually work out what it is and work out how to fix it.
That sounds fascinating, doesn't it? And lots of people think about fixing their cars, don't they? Or fixing their houses, or fixing their computers, fixing their phones. But people don't generally think about fixing their bodies.
Do you know that's true? And Bob, answer this question. Do people really leave it until it gets quite difficult to fix before coming to you?
Yes, people tend to be quite reluctant to come and see me, particularly us blokes. Because the longest that I've known somebody have an injury before they've come to see me is actually around 30 years.
30 years?
Yeah, he was...
Was that my brother?
No, I didn't know he had a brother. He was a weightlifter. He injured his shoulder in the gym and then he just carried on weightlifting. And then eventually thought, yeah, maybe I should get that sorted out.
Wow.
And he came to see me and I think we fixed it in about 4 or 5 treatments. Something like that. It wasn't anything major.
I was going to say 4 or 5 treatments. That's really quick. I would imagine you're going to say 4 or 5 years.
No, it wasn't anything major. It's just one of those things that you kind of learn to live with and you adapt what you do to avoid making it hurt. So we've done that. But he wanted to get back into weight training again. Mm. So he came to see me and, sorted out.
So, yeah, again, do most people only actually contact you when they've got an injury or as part of what you do, do you offer people your expertise to keep them in balance so that things don't go wrong? Or do they just come to you when things have broken?
Generally speaking, people come to see me when things have broken. Mm. What I always do is I will help them to resolve a problem, but I'll also give them the tools, hence being on Future Toolbox.
Yay!
Love that.
Thought I'd throw that
fantastic
in there.
Fantastic plug there.
So what I do is I then give them the tools to actually maintain themselves so they don't need to come back and see me. It's a pretty rubbish business model, to be honest. Because you get them in, you fix them, they go away with enough tools so they don't actually need to come back. So that's kind of my philosophy. You shouldn't really need to come and see me in the first place. If you do come and see me, I will do my best to give you exercises and things to do, which means you don't need to come back.
But I guess that's a great referral system though as well, because if you've fixed someone and they don't need to go back and they have the tools then to keep themselves, then they will go and tell all their friends and family about you and how wonderful you are.
And luckily that seems to be how it works. Yeah, it does work quite well.
So I guess that's a great tip. Don't break yourself in the first place or go and see Bob a little bit earlier. But I know Bob's a real expert in the ease for exercise market and has an incredible amount of knowledge. So let's talk a little bit about exercise.
Yeah.
You guys know I'm a runner. Obviously, I've written the book.
Have you told us?
Well, I might have mentioned that book, Half Man, Half Marathon.
Yeah, I've got a signed book as well. So I know what you're
reading it as we speak. Yeah. Not literally in the studio, of course. So you know I'm a runner. I love running. I also love strength and conditioning training, which I do as part of my running club at the University of Northampton. What's your favourite exercise?
My favourite, I've got quite a few, and you just mentioned strength and exercise. Now, I like to do that via lifting weights. Having tried to do running and been a little bit successful, but I had a knee injury, but actually by doing that strength exercise and powerlifting and stuff, it really, really helped with that injury. I love swimming. I love power walking. I used to be a ballet dancer as a young girl, and then I moved on to gymnastics. So yeah, I've done quite a bit over. Oh, aerobics and step, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, a general all-rounder. There you go.
An all-rounder. I love that.
What about you, Bob? What's your kind of favourite exercise? I've got a suspicion that running isn't one of them.
And you would be right, James. Yeah. If you see me running, you know something big, hairy and scary is coming behind me, because that's the only way I'm going to get out and run. I can tell you that now. No, I've been a big fan of martial arts from way back when. So yeah, I've always been involved in martial arts, not doing quite so much at the moment. And I did try powerlifting and wasn't very good at that and wasn't particularly keen on it. I do a lot of stuff at home these days. It's more for kind of maintenance rather than anything else. I do a lot of walking, and I've got some kettlebells, which I think are the finest tools in the land.
They are good, and they're actually harder than...
They're so versatile.
Yeah, than you think.
But you can't cheat with them.
No.
And if you do cheat with them, you'll hurt yourself, so you have to get the technique right.
What size are your kettlebells?
What, you mean the biggest? Size is not important. But if I had to say, at the moment I'm swinging around 220s.
Wow.
Wowza. Okay, that's more than me.
That is a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. So, that's good. I mean, it's impressive.
It's all about training, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I've got to ask a question then, because when I ran a marathon, people used to say to me, like, oh, yeah, I used to eat marathons, because that's what a Snickers was called before a marathon. I've heard that joke a million times. Does anybody ever say to you, oh, well, kettlebells, well, I'm good at putting the kettle on, or something like that?
Luckily, no.
Only you,
that's
Mark.
Good. I've not heard that Thankfully, one yet. Thankfully, yeah. Let's never, ever speak of that joke again.
Yeah, that would only be you. You'd be the first.
Let's talk about gyms. And I read a statistic that Brits waste £37 million a year on gym memberships, according to which magazine?
£37 million?
Yeah, that's not just one person. That's obviously
everybody.
No, we knew that, really. But I used to go to the gym. I used to love going to classes because I had somebody guiding me and giving me the tracks to run on, saying, this is what you've got to do in order to get the best from your workout. And you love the gym as well, don't you?
Yeah, I still go to the gym. And there's a couple of classes that I quite like, which is the body pump. And I found that really good. And again, doing the strength and conditioning. I was there this morning. I was on the treadmill and the cross trainer, because particularly today I wanted to do some cardio. Yeah. And I am not one for running around the park on a windy, blustery day. I don't like it.
I
know you do.
Not in the wind, but yeah. I love running around the park.
But for me, I'm more motivated to go and do it there, but I don't do it every day. So yeah, what are your thoughts, Bob?
My thoughts on gyms. I used to be a gym member, and I used to be one of those people that spent £37 million a year on the gym. not all of it mine, obviously. But yeah, I have been to gyms, and like most people, I was in the gym for about 3 or 4 months and then gave up. Not because there was anything wrong with the gym, but because it didn't really match what I wanted to do. So it'd take me half an hour to get there, I'd train for an hour, half an hour to get home, and then I'd have a shower, and that's like half a day gone.
Yeah.
So rather than do that, I knew what exercises I wanted to do, so I just do them at home now. And it takes me 20 minutes, so I can have a really good kettlebell routine, and then I'm done.
Oh.
Because kettlebells are so versatile. And I think one of the issues, I can understand why people join gyms because they know that exercise is a good thing. I think the problem with a lot of people is that they join the gym and then they don't know what to do.
That's true.
Get to the gym. Most people will stick with the safe three. They'll do the treadmill, they'll do the rowing machine, and they'll do the exercise bike or cross trainer.
Or the cross trainer, because they are the easy ones, aren't they?
The easy ones. Yeah. You don't need a lot of training to do them. Where it gets complicated is if people then start migrating to the machines, and machines are great if you know what you're doing. The problem with machines, again, you can be shown how to use them, but people tend to put too much weight on, especially the blokes.
Yeah,
I've been there.
And then they do it wrong, and then they get hurt.
And they come to see you. Oh, well, that's good for you, though.
Join the gym.
Join the gym. Come and see me. I'll leave some cards in the door. Yeah, what happens is people will go to the gym, especially the younger lads and lasses. They'll go to the gym. They want the six-pack. They want the big biceps. They want the buns of steel, all of those things. So they go onto the weights machines and they go too heavy.
Yeah.
They don't have a plan. They don't have a structure. So they'll either do it for a few weeks and give up, or they'll carry on and hurt themselves. Or there's a few that will actually do it, carry on doing it, and get it right. But the problem with gyms is there's a lot of opportunities to get it wrong. If you're going to go to a gym, make sure that you get some proper training. So not just the, this is how you use a treadmill, this is how you use this bit of kit, but actually have a plan for what you're trying to achieve when you go to the gym. So I've got nothing against them. I think they're just a tool like everything else. Use it in the right way and it will work for you. Use it in the wrong way and it won't.
That's really, really sound advice there. I just had a thought while we were talking about that. Your dad used to go to the gym near enough every single day, didn't he? And I used to say, well, what do you find to do there? Because he would be there for hours. And he literally would do just a little bit here and there, but just sit and drink coffee. And I think it was more of a social thing for him at that point, wasn't it?
And that's fine.
Yeah, then he stopped going to the gym and just started going to coffee shops instead. Yeah. So we actually found out his real motivation there, didn't we? So I guess that's why a lot of people tend to slip into this lazy, sedentary world. If you're joining a gym that's half an hour's drive away, it's not really going to work, is it? It's too far to go.
It's going to take that amount of time out of your day each day. We don't have that amount of
time. And
then
you know what you're doing properly. That's even harder. But that brings me on to other things of why do we think people are lazy? So there's obviously the convenience of being able to drive everywhere. I mean, I had a friend years ago who used to drive less than a mile to work. When I used to say to him, why don't you walk? He said, I love driving. What he actually meant was, I'm too lazy to walk to work.
Yeah, exactly.
But he said every single day he loved driving to work. He was quite overweight. There's also the convenience of online shopping. So we order something on a platform now.
And it's here the
next
day.
Well-known platforms. Mm. It's there. Sometimes even the same day, isn't it? And in Northampton, we have these robots that bring things to our house. It's amazing, really. We can click a button and something's there, isn't it?
We have these scooters now, these electric scooters. I see many people on that, whereas maybe before they might have walked, but now it's so easy just to hop onto one of those and whiz around the corner. And I also think social media has an effect on people's exercise because you can get carried away. And we've talked about it before, TikTok, Instagram, TikTok. All the other ones, you know, before you know it, an hour's wasted watching videos. You've enjoyed it. You've had a laugh, a giggle, but actually you're never going to get that hour back.
It's gone, hasn't
it's
it?
It's gone.
This is true.
It's
gone. I have done that.
I do it. I'm culling it. But I do it. So what are your thoughts, Bob?
My thoughts are, first thing, I wouldn't say people are lazy. I think
it's probably a harsh statement, isn't it?
A little bit harsh, Mark. A little bit harsh. I think people will like convenience. And as you were saying, if you can go on the internet and order it, or if you can get a little robot to come around and bring your stuff to you, then it's more convenient. I think a big thing about exercise, and one of the things that I've found over the years, is that a lot of people just don't know what to do. So you've got massive amounts of choice. You don't want to go to the gym because you can't afford it. So there's that cost. But you can get yourself a cheap pair of trainers and you can go and run. There's couch to 5Ks. There's ways for people to do it. I lay a lot of the blame on the fitness industry because if you look at any of the images, it's lots of happy, smiley people with big biceps, six packs, all of that sort of stuff. And a lot of people don't want
women
that.
With tiny waists.
Indeed.
But it's true. I see it all the time.
The images are, I think the images are counterproductive because people go, well, I don't want to look like that. I just want to feel a little bit better about myself. And there's also lots of images of people lying in a heap in a corner in a pool of sweat because they've just done whatever exercise class they've just done. Again, you don't need to do that.
That could put you off because, you might think, oh my, that looks really hard. I'm not doing that.
Exactly. So I think a lot of the images that are used to portray exercise and fitness are counterproductive because most people don't want to look like that. The majority of people will never look like that. So why not have some real people?
Like me and you with our kettlebells.
Exactly.
That is true, though. I mean, joking aside, you are real people. Yeah. And we've talked quite a lot about this with teenagers in schools and social media and the media
and Love
portraying.
Island.
Yeah,
Love
you
Island,
must look
you know,
like
all
this.
The people
oh,
on Love
I forgot
Island.
About that one. Oh, that's lazy. Probably because I don't watch it.
But a lot of people see that and they think they either never get to it or they'll go to the gym and try and get to it and they'll hurt themselves in the process because they think, God, they have big, heavy weights. One of the things that I always push with everybody that I work with, because I work on a one-to-one basis, I don't care who comes through the door, I can find exercises for you to do at home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. If you do these, this will really help with your shoulder or this will help with your knee. You can do it. I run an exercise class at a care home and the oldest person there has just turned 100.
Really? 100?
Her 100th birthday was 2 weeks ago.
You know, you said to people maybe slightly lazier than they probably could be. They could do more. But then what if you think to yourself, well, maybe I'm too old or my joints hurt too much? You know, maybe some people are possibly disabled and feel that they can't do it. What advice do you have?
They may feel that they can't do it. What my advice to them will be to just give me a call. But the thing is that I don't care who you are. I don't care what your disability is. I don't care what sort of state you think you're in. I will find exercises that you can do, that we can grade, and we can get you stronger. If you are somebody who's broken an ankle, you want to go back to marathon running, I can get you to do, I can help you to do that.
Brilliant.
When I was working on the Tackling Loneliness project, I was talking to various older clients, and there was one lady that I was talking to who had two hip replacements. She'd had knee replacements. She was struggling to get out of a chair. And I was saying, you know, I'm an osteopath and this is what I do. And I said, well, okay, what can you do? Here's an idea. Why don't you just lift one leg up and lower it down? And then lift that leg up, straighten it out. Wiggle your ankles about a bit. That is exercise. You know, you do that enough, and then we could perhaps put a weight on there. Or, yeah. You know, there are so many things that people can do. And it's not so much that they can't do it. It's just that they don't know that they can do it.
They don't know they can do it. And I think that image that you have when you talk about exercise, like you say, you think you've got to be able to run a marathon, or you've got to be able to lift that weight, or you've got to end up sitting in the corner sweating and like, oh my God, that was... But exercise isn't about that, is it? It's mobility, isn't it?
It's about mobility. And again, I don't care what mobility issues you think you have, we can still work on improving that mobility. It really is just a case of seeing where you are and then working out where you want to go and then taking you there. Because another thing that I found as well is whenever anybody walks through my door, I always ask them what their goals are.
Yeah.
Because even if you've got knee pain, you've got low back pain or whatever, just getting rid of the pain is not always why people come and see me. Sometimes they may say, well, I just want to be able to play with the kids. It's simple little
things.
Things like that. So the goals are really important. And as long as you can find what the goals are, then you can say, well, okay, I can get you to that point. Let's see where you are. Let's see where we can get you to. You may not be pain-free, but A, it'll hurt a lot less. Because that's another thing that people tend to forget, especially GPs. They forget that, actually, if you've got pain in a joint, you're going to stop moving that joint so much.
Because it hurts.
Mm. And if you move it less, you get less of this WD-40 that the body produces called synovial fluid. So the joint gets stiffer and then it hurts a bit more to move. So you get in this vicious spiral. Mm. It hurts to move, so you don't move it. And then you get more pain when you do try and move it. So you move it less and less and less. Actually, what you want to do is you want to start moving it in a gentle way.
Yeah.
A little bit of discomfort is fine, but not pain. If it starts getting painful, you're overdoing it. But then you slowly build that up and the joint starts to produce a little bit more of that synovial fluid, that WD-40, and it gets easier to move. And the other thing is it reduces pain.
Yeah.
Because stiffness can cause pain. Get rid of the stiffness by exercise, simple stuff, and the pain is less, you move more, and it works.
It works.
I've done it enough times. I know it works. It's just finding the right motivation for people. And like I said, people aren't inherently lazy. They want to be healthy. But a lot of the time, they just don't know how to do it.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a lack of understanding and a lack of knowledge.
And perhaps a little bit of a lack, like you say, the confidence comes with the knowledge, doesn't it?
That's just reminding me of something when you said about knee pain, because being a runner, the amount of people that say to me all the objections they can think of. Yeah. So, oh, I'm not built for running, or running's bad for your knees. I know you can bust that myth for me massively, can't you? Yeah, I'm not built for running, or running's bad for my knees.
Well, you see, I can bust it, but some people are just not designed to run.
Absolutely.
You know, it could
Thank
be.
You, Bob. That's me.
That's okay. We're in the same group. But some people are just not designed to run. But that's not to say they can't exercise. There's a lot of evidence out there to say that running is good for most people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm allergic to it, so I
can't. You're allergic to it, yes.
Do you break out into a hot sweat?
I have an allergy to penicillin, so I don't take penicillin. You're the same with running. I know exactly what you mean.
Exactly that. Okay, so we were talking about knee pain, and a lot of runners that get knee pain, a lot of the time it's related to the ankle. So people typically sprain ankles through their lives, but ankles are quite difficult to rehab. It can take up to 12 weeks. So the first 3 or 4 weeks of an ankle sprain is the ligaments repairing. And although the ankle can be pain-free, it's a little bit like a scab over your skin. So although a scab will stop from bleeding, it's not actually a proper repair. And that's the same sort of thing happens with ligaments in the ankle. If you tear one, it will repair and it could be relatively pain-free within 3 or 4 weeks. But actually, it's going to take another 7 to 8 weeks for the collagen that's there to be replaced by the correct type of collagen. So the ankle is still weak, and that's one of the reasons why people continually sprain their ankle.
That's the thing, it's about that whole body balance, isn't it? And we've done a podcast on balance as well before, work-life balance, for instance, as well. So
it's about getting your life in balance.
That, doesn't it?
But I think the message from today is, if you're thinking about exercising, whether you've got pain, whether you haven't got pain, or whatever that you need to do, you have to go and visit Bob.
Of course.
And that's it. And he will put you out there and sort you all out.
Bob will fix you.
Bob will, yes.
Bob will fix you.
There's a program about that, isn't there? We won't go there.
I think so.
If they want to find the real Bob yourself, how can these people get in touch with you? Where can they find you?
Right. Well, I work at two clinics in Northampton. There's KB Therapy Clinic in Stenson Street over by St James. And I also work at Duston Sports Centre. So you can find me wearing my osteopath hat at either of those. And if you don't need osteopathy and you just want to do some VR gaming, come and see me at VR Therapist, because I work there as well.
I know, there's an
end to your talents. Have you got a website, social
yes,
media?
Yes, I have got a website. It's solacehealthcare.co.uk.
Fabulous. Thanks, Bob, for coming in.
It's always a
pleasure to see you, mate.
Thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
I learn so much from you every time as well, chatting to you. So that today is E for exercise. Thank you very much for listening, and look at simple ways that you can exercise yourself. Of course, you can find us on social media. We are on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we will see you all very soon.
Yeah, see you all soon.
Thanks a lot. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Z2A of Life Skills with Jules and Mark of the Future Toolbox. Don't forget to head over to their website, which is futuretoolbox.co.uk, where you can find lots of free resources, plus a host of books in the store, as well as subscribing to the membership site. Follow Future Toolbox Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Future Toolbox, and subscribe to their YouTube channel too.